Okay, the way you say today's daf is daf Kuf Mem Ches. In Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. Kuf Mem Ches. And we're starting from Omer Rava. We're holding two lines on the bottom of the Omid, but it's the middle of a Shtichel Sugya, so we're going to start from six, seven lines from the bottom, where the Gemara says Omer Rava. That's Kif Mem Zayin Omid Beis. Omer Rava, Omer Rav Nachman. Six, seven lines from the bottom. Shchim Rashi Omer. A Shchim Rahu said, Yoder ployni babay ze, yoichel ployni peiris dekel ze, le omer klum. Instead of handing over a dira, an apartment, a house, to someone, lacher misa, or saying, I'm going to hand over this tree or this property, lacher misa, he spoke about yoder, a person will have the right to live in this house, lacher misa. Or this person will have the right to eat from the peiris dekel. Says the Gemara, says Omer Rav Nachman, Loi Omar Klum. What does he have to say? Hand him over a house. In other words, he had a number of properties. He said, give him this house. He should be able to live in it. Tenu Dekel Zeh Leploini, give him this tree. V'yoichel Peroysov. And that works. What's the difference between the first case and the second case? So we already learned the Rishbam yesterday. When you say the person has a right to live there, that is not a tangible right. You can't put your hands around it and say, oh, I'm handing over the right that's a right, but it's not a house, it's not an apartment, it's not a place, it's a right. Right, by definition, is intangible. When it comes to this type of matana, of a matana shchimara, it's got to be something you can grab hold of. So Rishbam says, Shadira in b'ma mishla haknoisa. You can't go and be magnet. How are you going to pick it? How can you do a meshicha on it? How can you do a hagbor on it? How can you do... It's oisius porkus ba'avir. It's nothing. Payer is dekel nami. It's for a slightly different reason. Because ein oda magna dover shaloi bolo oilem. If I'm going to tell him, you have the right to eat the payers from my property, they didn't even exist yet, except for a mayor and others, you can't be magnet dover shaloi oilem. But what you can do is things which are tangible, which are boilem. So therefore, a shchimra can say, I'm not giving him the right to live in this house. I'm giving him the house, and then of course, he can live in it. Or I'm giving him the dekel, and of course, Petrus will grow from it. All of that works, but it doesn't work in the other way. Says Yomar, the member of the Sover of Nachman, Rav Nachman seems to be equating a matona shchimra to a matona's bori. Remember the Sover of Nachman, Milzah di Asya b'bori, Isa b'shchimra, Telesa b'bori, Lesa b'shchimra. He's saying the two are exactly on the same footing, have the exact same halachas. The only difference, says Rishbam, is that we say that the Amira by shchimra is like making a kinyan by a matonez bori. And that is, those are the famous words of Divrei Shchimra k'chsuvin v'chmusorin dami. His oral speech is enough, as if it's k'suvim, as if it's written in a document. It's as if it's signed and sealed and handed over, mit alamina kinyonim. That's the only adifus that Shchimra has over bari. But otherwise, it's got to work like normal. And just like normally a bari cannot go and give someone, quote-unquote, a right, I'm selling you a right, I'm handing over a right. The only thing you can do is give him something tangible, which is adova sheyesh bari mamish, as well as you have to go and give him payrois. It's a dover shaboli oilam. So the same thing applies to a shchimra. That's where we ended yesterday. And now the Gemara is going to ask a question. Breaking Gemara, we're on the last line. The Omer Rav Nachman. Oh, the very same Omer Rav Nachman. Says, top of Kuf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Shchimra she'omar tnu halva osi liploini. Shchimra that says that someone owes me money. Yankel owes me $100. Gesundheit. I unfortunately, either shchimra chulila, I'm not going to live the day to get that $100. Why? The maturity date hasn't happened yet, or even if it has, he has not handed over the funds yet. But I'm now handing it over to my good friend Beryl, you're going to go and get that halwa. Okay, so does that help? And we're talking about Sijishbam, a milva alpeh, not a milva bishtar, because milva bishtar, gesundheit, is a piece of paper, which I can hand over. It's tangible. However, milva alpeh is just words. It's just an oral obligation. So shchimra she'omer tenu halva'osi l'ploini, halva'osi l'ploini, it works. How can it work? V'yavagav l'lesa b'bori. By a bori, gesundheit. If someone says, I am handing over, I am selling, I am conveying, I'm giving you as a present, the milva al peh, which is owned to me, which is owed to me. It's worthless. So you see that you can do something by shchimra that you cannot do by a bari. So you said a moment ago that bari and shchimra are exactly the same for all purposes. No, I see that there's a major difference. If you want to convey a milva al peh, you can do that by shchimra, but you cannot do that by a bari.
Do we have the shibud Reb Nosson that we can transfer?
Okay, so please hold that question, because we're going to address that shortly. What you're thinking of is not shibud Reb Nosson, you're thinking mamet shloshtem. You're going to get to that in a moment. So the Gemara gives now two answers. The first answer is the third line of Papa Omar, hoil the yoyresh yorsha. What does that mean? What happens if a person, Chas V'Sholem, passes away and he did not give away his halva? There's a milva al peh which is due him, and the person passes away. So what happens? Does the milva al peh evaporate, dissipate? No, of course, it continues to exist. It will no longer be due and owing to the nifter, because he's already in the oilam ha'emes, but it's going to go to his yorshim, just like anything that he left over in life. Whatever his possessions are, if he has not divvied them up and given them to somebody else, it'll go to his yarshim, like normal. Ah, so what does the Gemara mean to say with that? How does it work, Yerusha? Because Yerusha, whatever the person owned, automatically goes to the kids, to the bonim, to the bonim, goes to bonois, etc. The din of matona shchimra is a form of Yerusha, where the Torah has empowered. So remember we had yesterday, two mahalchem in the Gemara, whether it was Diaraisa or the Rabbanan, and even the Diaraisa, we said in Toysis, is not a real Diaraisa, it's a Drabbanan super powered with an Asmachta from Sukkim. So if you look at the Rishbam, six lines on the top, Hoyu v'yodish yorsha, six lines on the top, Lezu hamilva ki'ilu b'rishusahi. As far as Yerusha is concerned, the milva passes by Yerusha as if it's in his rishus, as if it's tangible, as if he's holding on to it. Even if he holds this Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan, when they instituted and legislated this inyan of matona shchimra, they said it has the same din like Yerusha. Hilkach, kiven de isay by Yerusha, since by Yerusha the milva al peh would flow to the kids. Similarly, when the Chachamim went and legislated the din of Matan Shchemra, the same din, you can also go and give it the Matan. So that's by Halvosa. We have now Teretz number one, that in fact there is a difference between Matan Shchemra and Matan Bori. Number one, we said, because of the din of the Amira, that Divrei Shchemra Kesurim Zamdami, that's one. And now there's another Chilik, and that is that halvo al peh, a milva al peh, you can go and transmit with a milva, with a matona shchimra, but not with a matona zvarim. However, Rav Acha b'Rei Ravik Omar, no, the kasha really from the outset is not a kasha. And this is what Barry was already answering 5 minutes ago. Halvo is all the isim of bari, even a milva al peh, you can also transmit with a bari. Where? Ravun Omar Rav, Yom Ravun Omar Rav, Manali b'yodcha, Teneu l'ploin y'memamich, Loshtan, is kana. You have three people standing together. You have the first person, Yankel. Then you have Beryl and you have Shmerel. Yankel says to Beryl, Beryl, you know you owe me $100. Oh, that's true, that's true. I don't know when you're going to pay. But whenever you're ready to go and pay, don't pay it to me, give it to Shmerel. And all three of them nod with their heads. Done. You don't need to make any kinyonim. Why don't you have to make any kinyonim? So Rishbam says this is one of the three halachas below Taima. And the reason is, Lefisha Dover Nohug Bein HaSochrim. If you go to Rishbam, in Mabat Shloshten Kona, says Rishbam, skip a line, Lefisha Dover Nohug Bein HaSochrim V'Hachin Vonim. Since this was an ungenumina, this was an accepted practice among the Sochrim, the businessmen, and the Chenvonim, and the storekeepers, Tokmos Adover Liknois Bamira B'Mamat Shloshten. You don't need to make a kinyan. After all, you couldn't make a kinyan because this is a milva al peh. Lefisha ain't kinyan moil, but davisha ain't ben. It's not tangible. Let's do a mashicha on the milva al peh. Come on, let's schlep it together. Let's do hagba together. It's impossible. So you can't make a physical kinyan on it. Kmin lahasa, and there in the Sechses Gittin, where we talk in greater detail about mamish losh, we say this applies both to a milva, like our case, maybe pikodin. That if Yankel had a pikodin by Beryl, he says, Beryl, don't give the pikodin back to me, give it to Shmerel. And that works. The Afghan Sikh, the Milz, less Bebori, less Bishchimara. Okay, that's already, I'm getting off another kind of question. But getting back to our Gemara, so therefore, says Rav Acha Barei Davika, your question from the outset was faulty. You were under the impression that by Matanas Bori there is no such thing as conveying a halva milva balpeh. That's true. Reuven cannot give Shimon a milva balpeh. He can't sell it to him. He can't hand it over to him. But there is a case where by Briam, people that are gezunt, they can convey it. How? In a mamish loshen situation where all three are present, I tell you, don't give it to me, give it to him. Kana, we're done. Ah, so since by Matanas Bori we find that there is such a concept and such a mechanic, same thing as the guy with the Matanas Chimera, you can also have the mechanic of Tanu Halva Asi Laplaini. So the question is now resolved.
I'm bothered by the fact, earlier in the parak we talked a lot about Kinyan Peres, Kikinyan, and Guftami or not. And we started out today reviewing what Rabbi Shimon of Nachman about Yidr Ploni Babayet Zeh. I understand it's
intangible.
It's intangible. It's Peros. I mean, it's Kinyan Peros. He's saying is let this person live here. Let them have a Kinyan Peros. Why is suddenly we set? Why are we falling away from that and saying, oh, it doesn't work because it's intangible? We've had so many times that Kinyan Peros, Kikinyan and Guf, Lav Kikinyan.
So why are you focusing on Yodah Ploini Babayzeh? Why don't you go and focus on Yodah Ploini Peres Dekelzeh? That's really Peres.
I know, because there we get into the whole thing of Reb Meir, of Huna, etc.
That what?
The Machin Dever Shalom, and the Dekel exists. But the house, and that's why I'm focusing on the house, because the house is intact. Its benefit, its usability is extant right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that Kinyan Peros that are Be'en, that are here now?
If you're talking about a Bori, would a Bori be able to go and schlep the right to live or the right to go and get these Peros? It's a double which is not tangible. Adira Inba Mamish Laknois.
So how do we rent a house?
How do you rent a house?
I mean, if you can't convey the use of the house,
mm-hmm.
how can the house be rented legally then? I mean, isn't it, as it were, derivative of being able to rent a house?
No, it's derivative of being able to own a house. When you're renting it, you're not giving it to him permanently in perpetuity. You're giving it to him for a day, for a week, for a month.
But he clearly wasn't giving it to him the goof of the house, because he only said, let him live here. He didn't say, and it's only for his lifetime, apparently, because as long as he's living, he could live here. As long as he's not living,
mm-hmm.
okay, he goes to the Beis HaChaim. Mm-hmm. But that's why I'm focusing on the house. The house already exists. Its functionality as a place to live in exists.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it like a Kinyan Peres situation that we say it doesn't work, it's lo bola olam?
So Rabbam Rav Nachman said, if he were to go and say, not that I'm going and giving you the right to live there, but he says, "Tenu b'yizel plenty." I'm giving him the apartment. I'm giving him the house.
But he doesn't want.
That
it.
Means ownership.
Right, exactly. He wants to retain. He has a dear friend. He lets him stay in his house. He's dying. As long as his friend is alive, let him live there. His children will inherit the house after the death of his dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems very, very, very much of a Kenyan Peros. He's mocking the Peros of living in this house to his dear friend for the remainder of his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't want to give him the house. He wants his children to retain it. It's like we had earlier with a Safta, give it to this one, after that to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Why is suddenly an objection? I mean, it feels like we've always allowed this and, you know, for 140 some pages.
Nowhere in our Masechta did we previously say that you can go and hand over rights to living in a residence. You're talking about, for instance, renting or lending somebody your apartment. You are giving it to him for the period of a day, a week, a month. During that period of time, he owns it. He doesn't own it to the extent that he, chas v'shalom, can go burn it down, or he can go and sell it, or he can give it away. But with certain limitations and restrictions, he owns it. Just like if you go and rent a car. During that period of time, the car is you and the renter and the rentee may not think of it in those terms, but the car belongs to you. And you can go and use it. Can't go and use it to go and crash into a building, chas v'shalom, but you can use it for traveling back and forth. And when you're finished with your driving for the 3 days, 5 days, you give it back to the rental company. But then you rented a car. You didn't rent the right to drive the car. You rented the car. you can go and rent an apartment.
That's the thing that's eluding me here. Okay. Suddenly, what is the difference then in the case that you want to use the gamble of a car? What's the difference between renting the car and renting the right to use the car?
Because the right to use a car is a davar she'ein b'mamish. It's a verb, it's a motion, it's an action. It's not a noun, it's not a piece
tangible,
of property.
It's not a tangible thing.
Not tangible. Rishbam says, adira ein bo mamish lahaknoisa. The right to live in a dira doesn't have, it's not tangible, it should be able to grab it and be able to say, okay, let's take a mashicha, let's do hagbah, okay, or do anything like that. Masha'in came, the dira itself, if I
of
am
course
renting, or no, that of course, davar she'ein bo mamish. So that's the same svar over here. Anyway, but the questions that you've raised is a nice introduction to the next Gemara, because we're going to deal with those types of svaras. Iboilu, dekel li echad upeiroi sov li acher mahu. Person goes and gives a dekel to one person, and he gives the peiros to another person. Yeah. Now, there is a machlokes over here between the Rishbam and the Tosfos, how to learn pshat in the Gemara. The Rishbam himself brings two or three different kirsois. He said, he doesn't like that pshat, he doesn't like that pshat. The Tosfos pshat l'choira fits better in terms of the flow from the previous Gemara to the next Gemara. So, what's the nidon? What are we talking about? Dekli echad peroif liachad. You have now a shchimra that wishes to go and give the dekel to one person and the peroif to another person. The question is, Mal, can he do that? What is the shayla? The shayla is because we just said now in the Gemara that if you go and give yoichal ployni peiros dekel lo yomar klum. Goodish. L'choira, if you're talking about giving the peiros, again we're talking about peiros that don't exist yet, and they're not existing unless you hold like Ramei and Rafuna and others that hold odem matne davar shloy b'loylam. It's l'choira davar which is loy boli oylam yet. Question is this an effective type of conveyance? So what the Gemara says is, perhaps, we should view the recipient of the peiros as not just getting peiros lebola oilam, but that in fact he is getting a piece of the tree itself. What piece of the tree is he getting? The branches from which these peiros emanate. Try to picture in your mind a tree. The bottom of the tree has, of course, shiroshim roots underneath. It has the trunk of the tree. There are no peiros growing either from the roots or from the trunk. Ah, but then their branches are growing out of the tree. And from those branches grow the peiros. So can you say that the conveyance of the peiros works because included with the peiros was the mokim peiros? Mokim peiros means the branches on the tree from which those peiros grow out. If so, then I'm giving a piece of real estate. I'm giving the rest of the tree, the trunk and the leaves and the shiroshim, then I'm giving the echad, then I'm giving to yang. But the peiros I'm giving to Beryl. Would you say here in this case it does work because mishayim mokim peiros? Can you say that he is, when the shir means that when he's conveying the peiros to Beryl, he's giving him not only the peiros but also the mokim peiros, the places on the tree, the branches from which the peiros grow? Oloishai, or do I say no? Those are all given the mokim peiros, meaning the branches themselves, belong to the dekel man, and therefore all I've given to the second person of peiros leboli oilam, and therefore that conveyance lechayra doesn't work unless you hold adam matnadosh oilam like a man.
And if the tree dies out and they want to use it now for firewood, mm-hmm, who would get the branches? The dekel guy or the peiros guy?
If you hold that the peiros guy gets, in addition to the peiros, also the mokum, he would be able to go and
harvest the branches for firewood.
Exactly. If you want to just see quickly the Rishbam on this, even though we're going really with the Tosfos, but Rishbam comments on this. If you see Shirli Atzmai, about halfway down the wide lines of the Rishbam,
yes,
Shirli Atzmai HaPeiros, Mal Mishair Mokam HaPeiros, what are the next few words? Right? Exactly what you asked. If and when this tree dries out, the person who got the dekel, he'll certainly go and get the shiroshim and the dried out trunk. However, vis-a-vis the anofa, since that's the Mokam HaPeiros,
right,
if you say that when he handed over the peiros, he also gave him the mokum, right? So then if and when these branches eventually die, a year, 25 years, 100 years later, he'd be able to take those branches and use it for firewood or for lumber or whatever you use dried out wood for. Okay, so now that's the Gemara Shai. Does the Peiris person also get Mokim Peiris? And now the Gemara says, in Imtim Tzolimim, if you're going to be Poishit, Li'acher Loi Havishir, no, he didn't go and give him the Anofim, he only gave the Peiris themselves. What about Li'atzmoy Mahu? According to the Rishban, according to this gear, so you take out the words Chutzmei Peiriso. Li'atzmoy Mahu. What happens if he left it for himself? So in this case, we're obviously not talking about a shchimra anymore. Now we're talking about a bori. So a bori is handing over the dekel to someone else. He leaves the peiris for himself. Do I say that leaving the peiris for himself, the mokim peiris is included with the peiris? Why do I have to say the mokim peiris is included? Because the chayre, if the mokim peiris is not included, he's just keeping payers. And if you hold that payers is a dovish leibol oilam, because it doesn't exist yet, so then maybe he wouldn't be able to go and sever the payers from the tree, and automatically whoever he's giving the tree to is going to get the payers too. How can I go and separate one from the other? So just like I'm saying by two separate individuals, if you hold that when you give payers to one, you're not giving him the branches with the mokum payers. You're just giving him the payers. And that's a dovish leibol oilam. If you're going to go be poached, loy have a shear, and therefore he's not going to get it. What happens if I, the conveyor of the tekel, retain the payers for myself? Mal. Would that be different, yes or no? Says Imar Omer of Amram Nachman, Imtim Tzoloimer, if you're going to be poached, the tekel li echad, uperyosev li acher, loy have a shear, mokin peiri, we would not say that the payers individual also gets the mokin payers, the branches of the tree from which the payrus will emanate, in a case where he only handed over payrus, the dekel to somebody else, but he kept the payrus for himself, then I would say he holds onto a piece of the real estate, the branches of the tree, so that this is not a dovash leibol oilam. This is his, and he's keeping the payrus because those are part and parcel of the mokum peiris, meaning the branches on the tree.
What's the difference?
One second. In my time, why am I distinguishing between the first case of dekel yechad peiros liacher, or dekel yechad and he keeps the peiris for himself? Says Mark Kol Gabi Nav should be ayin yofim mishaya. Anybody that's conveying a piece of property and he wants to retain something for himself, even if he's not the greatest talmud chacham, but he wants to do it in an oifin where he's going to be able to retain the rights that he wishes to retain. Since until now he always had the rights to the payers. Of course he had both the dekel and the mokum payers and the payers. He had everything. So now when he's giving away the dekel, but he still wants to retain the payers. If you're going to go and talk, you can't. Well, what eitzah do you have? My eitzah is hold on to the mokum payers. And, oh, fine, so let's do it that way. Whatever. In other words, lawyers, you figure it out, but that's certainly his kavana, that when he's retaining for himself payers, that he's getting a piece of the karka as well. If he's getting a piece of the karka, that's a dovah shabol oilam that he keeps, and when the payers will grow out, those will be...
Because
he holds by and yofa nois and yofa meicher. Very good, okay.
So he has to vocalize, I'm keeping for myself the makam payers?
He's not. This is implicit. When he's doing it, when he's selling somebody else, the person is giving away a dekel to one person, payers to the other guy. If he doesn't verbalize him giving you mokum payers, Sigmar concludes he didn't give him the mokum payers. Since he didn't give him the mokum payers, unless you hold like Rameir, I can't hand over the payers. However, when he's keeping for himself, says Sigmar, then you could do that. Why? Because even though he didn't verbalize or vocalize, he didn't say anything, he's going to do it in a way that he maximizes to his benefit, being able to retain the payers. If the only way you can retain payers if you're retaining a piece of the tree itself, then I retain a piece of the tree itself. What do I need? The muck and payer, the branches? Fine, I'm going to keep the branches. So even if he doesn't say it, it's implicit in his words because he wants to maximize the benefit to himself of keeping the payers. So now the Gemara says that this type of discussion, elsewhere, they had it with regard to a separate halacha, which we learned back at the outset of our Masechta. We were talking about a moichra sabayis. What is that? Omele Reb Abba Reb Ashi, Anan Adreb Shimon Min Lokish Masin Allah. This type of discussion that you just had now, we discussed it vis-a-vis an unrelated topic. The Omele Reb Shimon Min Lokish, a moichra bayis l'chaber. A person is selling a house to his chaver. V'yom aloi, al-manashe diyuto al-yoyne shali. I'm keeping aware of the Diyutol Yad. Diyutol Yad means the second floor, the attic, even the roof, that I'm keeping for myself. Now, as we learn back in Amoichas Abayis, since Abayis and an Aliyah are considered to be two separate things, it's no different than today, for instance, if you have two co-ops or two condominiums, one on the first floor, one on the second floor. If they have one individual that owns both and he's selling the first floor condo, you wouldn't automatically say, well, probably he threw in the second floor condo too. Obviously not. So you don't even have to go and say almanas or chutz. However, if you do throw in almanas that I'm keeping the duty of Yonah Shali, then, like every time, the Gemara says, when you specify in a document things which are necessary, those superfluous terms help to give you a yipui koyach. Yipui koyach means to go and strengthen your rights. So he didn't have to go and say, I'm selling you the house, but only the first floor, not the attic, or not the condo on the second floor, or not the roof. That's a double portion. I'm just selling you the first floor apartment. So why do you have to go and say chutz? That chutz gives him additional rights. What additional rights? We'll see it in a moment. So Zokter Shimon Lakish, if he said, of course he keeps the Diyotel Yoyne for himself. Now the Gemara's question is, what happens? Not that he kept the Diyotel for himself, but rather, he said, the first floor goes to Yankel. The second floor, the roof, the second floor condo, whatever, I'm giving to Beryl. Mal, mi habashir oylai. By the fact that he went and specified, bayis liyachad, diyot liyachad, can I go and say that the diyota person has additional rights? What additional rights are we thinking of? What we're thinking of is the right to have beams protruding and extending from that diyota towards the chotzer. What's the benefit of having those beams? To be able to hang from them from time to time, hats and coats and
laundry,
other things.
Laundry.
And laundry. Oh, excellent, beautiful. All different types of things. So does he receive that right? May have a shir or a right? The shir means really a shir in the chotzer down below. Is that also part of the package? And Imtin Solem, you're going to tell me, bayis liyachad, yot liyachad, lo yavashir. No. You get the first floor, he gets the second floor, and anything having to do with protruding zizim, beams and protruding parts of the building, that's something they'll have to negotiate between themselves or with the original owner, but it's not, it doesn't go automatically. But chutz min diyotamal, oh, in our situation where a person kept the diyota for himself, so now you see the parallel between our Gemara and the Gemara and the Amud Aleph, where there too we ask, you're talking about dekel yachad, peres liyachad, that may have one din, and even if you're going to be pointing that the peiros person doesn't get the mokum peiros, what about if he kept the peiros for himself? Maybe like the Gemara said on the Amud Aleph, person always is miyap koyach kolagabi nafshi b'ayin yofa mishayim, and so therefore here the person went and only conveyed, only sold, gave as a present the first floor bayis. He kept the diyot for himself. Would he have the right to go and have protruding zizim, these beams for purposes of the laundry or the hats and the coats and the umbrellas and all the rest? Amrav Amrav Nachman, Tim Tzaloyim Bebayis Liyechad Diyot Liyechad Loi Havishir. If that's the way you're going to go in Paskin, that he was not Mishai, he didn't give any more rights to the Diyot person than to the Bayis person, and therefore he does not have a right to those protruding zizim. Chutz Me Diyot Havishir. However, if you're keeping the Diyot for himself, then it would be a shir. Legabe which halacha? Now the Gemara finally spells out what we're talking about. Balibid Rav Zvid the Omar Shemrotz lahoitzi ba zizin moitzi al mekim in the shire diyota. It wasn't necessary for him to go and say I'm leaving the diyota for myself because the diyota is automatically left for him because it's not part of the bias. But because he wrote that into the document and therefore he got a yipui koyich as a result, the mokum zizin nami shire, he kept for himself also the right to have those protruding zizim for the laundry and the like. So you see there's a certain parallel to the two cases, and that's why he said, you had this shayla and you answered it with Rav Omer of Nachman, regarding the case of the dekel and the peiros, and we had a similar type of question dealing with a house and a diyuta el yoyna. Does a person who retains the diyuta el yoyna for himself, does he have more rights than had he just sold it for someone else. And the Gemara in both cases says, yes, a person prefers himself and kol legabi nafshe ba'ayin yofer mishay. Okay, nu shtiko now. Omer, if you skip the parentheses, Omer of Yosef bar Menyumi, Omer of Nachman. Shchimera shekosev kol nechosev lachem. A shchimera wrote out all of nechosev. It could be Bamira, but here he happens to be that shekosev, he wrote it all out. Kol nechosev lachem. And Royim, now we have to go and take a look at this and look at it carefully. Im mechalik meis konu kulan omad choizer bekulan. In the nimlach meis konu kulan omad eina choizer ele ba'achre. What is the Gemara saying? You recall back in the Mishnah we said that there's a difference between a shchimra that gives away everything and a shchimra that gives away everything but leaves something for himself, even a karka kol shehu, the Mishnah said. What's the difference between the two cases? If the shchimra gives away everything, remember we had Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, Reb Shimon Shazuri, we have an umdana, why did he give away everything? Because he figured he's not going to live any longer. The doctors already told him, got 24 hours, you might as well say goodbye to everyone, and that's why he gave away everything. And if miraculously, im omad, then he gets everything back. You think I want to give away all my possessions if I, Me'at Hashem, I'm going to live another 20 years? No, Vadanish. So that's the umdana, that even though he said I'm giving to Yaakov, Baruch Shmuel, he gets everything back. But that's only if he gave away everything. What happens if he gave away 90% and he kept 10%? We learned in the Mishnah, if he's omad, he's enoy choizer on all of those matanis that he gave. That's what we call a matnis shchimra, the mixas, and therefore they are koina, because the fact that he kept something for himself means in the back of his mind he was saying, what happens if I live? Okay, well, I still have that other nechas, I still kept an apartment for myself, I'm still okay, I gave away the other thing, I don't really need the rest of the stuff, I'm ready, 112, I don't need the rest, I'll just keep this for myself. So now that's called a matanis shchimra mixas. The Rishbam there, and Mitzvah, we're going to learn more tomorrow, that anytime you give a matan shchumra mixas, you have to go and give it with a kinyan. Because the only time that we say, divrei shchumra ksum, you don't have to make a kinyan, is if he gave everything away, or even if he didn't give everything away, but he gave away something, and he passed away, you don't have to make a kinyan. The divrei shchumra are ksum, but that's if he passed away. However, if he lived, of course, if he gave away everything, well, everything is going to come back to him because he recovered. So the matana shchimra just dissipates and evaporates. But if he did a matana shchimra b'mitzas, he didn't give away everything. He only gave away 10%, 20%, 50%, whatever. He left something for himself. Then it only belongs, and he recovered. So we said, matana shchimra b'mitzas, those people keep whatever conveyance, whatever he gave them. But it has to be that there was a kinyan involved. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So we have now a shchimra shekosa kol nechos alachirim. He wrote everything away for the achirim. Now, what we have to determine is, what was the situation? Was it a situation of giving it all at one time, and then after that, if he is omad choizer bekulan, or if it's a nimlach situation? Nimlach means that he changed his mind midstream. And that's what the Gemara is going to deal with now.
The answer is
we had projected and predicted that you were going to join us in Yet Hashem as soon as the davening was over. So we're delighted that you're with us. You're very welcome. Anyway, so the Gemara says now again, Shchimra Shikosa Kol Nechos Lachem, give away all the Nechos. Royim, now we have to analyze. Im B'Mechalik, when he was giving it away, he was Mechalik, meaning he gave away, he was enumerated a whole bunch of property and a whole bunch of people. And he's saying, property number one goes to Reuven. Property number two goes to Shimon. Property number three goes to Levi. And so on and so forth. If that's the way it appeared. And he gave away kol nechos of everything. Meis, Rachman al-Slam, the person passed away. The Kanakulan, then all of the recipients, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, everybody got whatever property was allocated to them. What happens, Omad? What happens if he, Baruch Hashem, recovers? Then Chayit v'Kulan, he gets everything back. Because Baruch Hashem, he's alive, no longer Shchimera. The only reason why he was giving it was Li'achar Misa, but Baruch Hashem is alive, and well, he gets back everything. Now what happens if it was, even though he was Mechalik, he gave everything away, but he was Nimlach. Nimlach means that initially he gave away 90% of his Nechasim. And then he took a pause. And then after an hour, he said, you know what? That remaining 10%, let's go and give it to Beryl. I didn't give him anything. Let's give it to him. So now what happens? Mace, if he passed away, then Karnakula, then everybody goes and gets the whole thing because he gave away 100% of his property and he died. Easy. Omar, what happens if he lived? Baruch Hashem, he recovered. In a choizer elabi achroin, then he only can have charata on the final one, that final 10% that he gave to Beryl. What's the reason why? Because all those other things that he gave up to the 90%, since he had not made a decision yet on the final 10%, and therefore the assumption is he was keeping it for himself. Oh, so that's a case of a shchimra, a matana b'miktsas. He's giving up. We say miktsas doesn't mean 2%. Miktsas means
anything. Partial.
Partial. Oh, very good. So here was partial. He gave away 90%, lemosho, but he didn't give away 100%. So then all of those matanas, those go. Because we said a matana shchimra b'miktsas belongs to the recipient, even if he is omad, even if he recovers. But what about that achron? That achron was the last piece of property. That last piece of property was really the only estate that was left, because everything else had already been divvied up. So it's like the karka koshu that he kept for himself. Now he's giving that away. Oh, now he's giving away his entire estate, the balance that remained for himself, since he's giving that away. Now, if he's Ahmad, he's Choyzer. Why? Because anytime you give away your entire estate, and the person, Baruch Hashem, lives and survives, then he gets that piece of property back. So one second. So therefore, what happened over here with Nimlach? Nimlach means that there were two stages in his allocations. The first stage was 10 o'clock in the morning, he woke up. I heard that, unfortunately, the doctors told me it's a very, very little time left. And therefore, I'm now giving and allocating the following 80%, 90% of his properties to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, etc. But he's still leaving 10% for himself. Now, what would happen if, at that point, he kept that last property for himself, and he, Baruch Hashem, Omad, he survived. So what happens now? The 90% would still go to them. It's only the Akron that we left for himself. What happens if Yichas HaSholem passed away? So then it would be a Shchimer Abba Miktsas. All of that would go to them, Kanukula. So since he left over an Akron, that last piece is now the, not a Matana Shchimer Miktsas. That's a Matana Shchimer Bekula. Why is it Bekula? Because all the other previous pieces of property had already been divvied up, and he left that for himself. Had he, Taka left it for himself, and he would have passed away at that point. All those other properties, ain't a choizer. Why ain't a choizer? Because Matan Shchimra Miktsas ain't a choizer. Right? Let's take a quick look back at the Mishnah for those of you that would like a quick review. Kuf Mem Vov Amid Beis, 146b. Kuf Mem Vov Amid Beis. Amid Beis. Kuf Mem Vov. Yep. We have the Mishnah there. Vov Zok the Mishnah. Shchimra Shikosu Kol Nechosav Lachayrim. The sheer karka culture, he left a little bit for himself. Matanos kayemis, that matana is good even if he's omad. Oh, the matana is good. Why did he leave over a piece for himself? Because he figured he's going to live. So why did he give away all the rest? Because he's giving away the rest. Matanos kayemis. Lo sheer karka kosher. If he didn't leave over anything, he gave out everything. And then omad, and then Baruch Hashem, he recovers. A matanos kayemis, then he gets everything back. So therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is, in the first case, when he's mechalik nechosav, he divvied up, allocated everything. And then he's omad, then ematanose kayemes, everything comes back to him. However, if it was a nimlach, that at 10 o'clock he's giving away 90%, and then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he says, oh, by the way, I had one karka koshu that I left over, I'm now handing that out to my good friend, Beryl. So what happens is, all the karkois, all the properties from the morning that he gave out, those were all shayer karka kosher. He left something for himself. And therefore, when he passes on, those are all matana shchimra b'miktsas. The last piece that he gave away, if he passed away, then that was also matana shchimra b'miktsas. He's given away now everything, nothing left. But what happens if he's omad? Omad, we said that a matana shchimra b'miktsas is kayam, because he left over karka kosher matanasoi kayamis. Oh, but you're telling me over here he didn't leave anything over. Yes, he did leave something over. What did he leave over? That last piece. 2 o'clock, which he gave away to Beryl. Guess what? At that time when he gave that away to Beryl, that was already the rest of his estate. There was nothing left. Everything else he had already allocated. So that piece, when he is Ahmad, he's choizer on that lashtikala, because any time a person gives away his entire estate, and then he's Ahmad, he gets it back. So the difference, therefore, between the Reish and the Sefer is, the first case was a machalik, he gave everything away at one point. Second case was a nimlach, and because it was a nimlach, we're now dividing the first part from the second part, that if he's Ahmad, all the first pieces that he gave away, that was Matar Shekhar Rabbi Miktas, done, finished. As far as that last Achrayin, that last Achrayin is now his entire estate that he left for himself, if he gives that away to somebody else, and then he's Ahmad, that part he retains for himself. That's what he more does. You have a question?
Yeah, so we're framing it that the Achrayin, in your example, at 10 a.m. he gives away 90%, and 2 p.m. the final 10%.
Mm-hmm.
We're framing it as two different
transactions.
Good.
But really, in reality, especially since he's a Shchimara, why don't we merge them and say it was just staged because his diet, his das is so disturbed.
Very good. So your question is excellent. That's the more discussion. Maybe it's not a question that he was nimlach, he changed his mind. He knew about all his 10 properties. He gave away the 9 properties at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that 10th one, he's still thinking and pondering, should I give it to Yanko, should I give it to Beryl, should I give it to Shmuel? Let me think about it. 2 o'clock, okay. I finally decided I'm going to give it to. And therefore, it's not a nimlach at all.
Right.
It's all mechalik, but it wasn't done in one day. He split it up. First, he gave the 90% at 10 o'clock. And then after Yishuvadas, he gave the other 10. Isn't that your question?
Exactly.
Everything Gemara. Stami the Shchimra, Meidik Daik, V'Hodar Yohiv. The Chazal are now explaining what the attitude, what the mindset is of a Shchimra. Shchimra is really under the duress, under the impression that he's not going to live, and therefore he's digging up his Nechasim. He doesn't decide first the 90% and then think about it, what am I going to do with my other 10%? He goes through all the Nechasim in his mind, or he makes a he writes it down on a piece of paper, this property, that property, and then he decides all at once regarding everything. The fact that initially in the morning he left over property which he did not decide, that's the best indication that everything that he gave was a matana shchimra b'miktzas, and that's the karka kosher that he left for himself, that he left for himself, where the Mishnah said in such a case, all of the earlier 10 o'clock allocations, even if he's Ahmad, Einoi Chayzer, because he gave all of that away, and that final piece he was going to keep for himself. That piece of that would have been his. After that he gave it to someone. What do you mean afterwards? He already initially was thinking about giving that individual. So yes. The Gemara, we look in the mindset of Ishchimra, if and when he has decided he's giving everything away, he does it all at one time. He doesn't split it up, because he has to think in his mind who are his best friends and who are his best relatives and who do you want to give it to, and he doesn't decide a 90% first and then leave over 10%. Let me ponder it further and I'll get back to you. It's all done in neshima acha, so to speak. He analyzes, does his, so to speak, his due diligence on all of his properties, and then he begins the allocation. Not that he allocates first and says, let me think about something later on.
I think that's a very...
You disagree.
I disagree.
Okay.
Because it's when someone's on their deathbed, they're clearly not thinking clearly. We did Mershim Menasya, Pigo Basar Umdana and everything. To say that someone on their deathbed has to follow a certain formula because in order to comply with Matan Shchimra is very, very...
It's hard for you to do. Look in the Rishbam, almost halfway down. Stam of the Shchimra. You have that Stam of the Shchimra? Halfway down the Rishbam.
Yes.
Stam of the Shchimra. Yunekum Ayin Belivoy. First he thinks about it, analyzes in his heart. Mayit and L'chol Echad. Koidem Shiyavoy L'fanav. Before they all appear, or before he's doing the allocation. Ve'en Le'lishtoik Ben Zeh L'zeh. There's no reason to make a pause between 10 and 2. Why did he pause and why was he quiet? Apparently, initially he wanted to keep one property for himself, that karka koshu, and therefore everything that he gave until now was a matonish chimra b'miktas, and therefore it's all chal. and the last piece he kept for himself, and that last piece he kept for himself, that he now gives that away to somebody else, because now he decides, it looks like it's curtains, it looks like it's over, and what I need that piece for, and he gives that away. Oh, so that piece is now the entire estate which is remaining, since the entire estate, if afterwards, Omad, that part is choizer, he keeps that, okay? Zog the Gemara Vaita. So that was that shtickle. So now notice that that was Rav Yosef bar Minyumi Om Rav Nachman. Now we have Rav Acher bar Minyumi Om Rav Nachman. Perhaps they were brothers. So Om Rav Acher bar Minyumi Om Rav Nachman. Shchim Rav Shikosek on the Chosel the Acherim the Omad. Ein Oy Choyzer. Chayshin and Shemi Yesh Lo in the Chosel Din Acheres. Who bo boy? Percy gave away all of the Chosel to Acherim. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehud, etc. And then Baruch Hashem, he survived. No, if you gave everything away, and then you survive, then everything comes back. That's what we learned in the Mishnah.
Right.
Zog Rav Nachman, no, ain't a choizer. You know why? Chashinu yemri yeshloi, nechasim din acheres. Maybe he has something in London or something in Australia, and therefore he didn't give away everything. It was only matanish chibram be'meitzas. Therefore, ain't a choizer. Pray tomorrow. What are you talking about? If he didn't leave anything for himself, and everything comes back. Why do you say everything comes back? You should say, every time you have to be choishish, that maybe he has a property in Texas, in California. Exactly. Maybe he has somewhere in Medina Acheres in Madai, for instance. So, Omer of Choma, when he's divvying it up, he's saying, I'm giving away everything. Now, the truth be told, when Rav Nachman said his halach, he said, Shechem Rashi Kosev Kol Nechosev Lachem.
Right.
He handed it all over. But he didn't use those magic words, I'm giving away all of my property to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. But rather, all the known properties that you and I recognize that he owns, he gave away property 1 to Reuven, property 2 to Shimon, property 3 to him. So we all assume that he gave away Kol Nechosev. But at no point did he say, I'm giving away all of my Nechosev, but rather he was allocating this Nechas and that Nechas. So the combined total of all of those, where it was our faulty impression that he gave away everything, but in truth he still had one bank account still in Switzerland, exactly. Or he still had a piece of property in Texas, or he had a condo that he had in Yerushalayim, or whatever it happens to be. If he says, however, I'm giving away all of my nechasim, that's a different story. So that's what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah is talking about that he said a verbal statement, or he wrote it, I'm giving away all my nechasim away. Then if he's giving all the nechasim, there's nothing left. Omad, then choyzer b'kulam. But it's not that he said kol nechasim, but rather he allocated what would appear to be all of his nechasim without him using the term kol nechasai. Then I have to be choyzer, that Olai maybe has nechasim din acheres, and therefore Einoi Choisim. That's what the Gemara says. That's pshat number one. Ma Bravashi Omar, I have, if you will, a better pshat. Memuchzik Lon Deleslei. That we, in the local community, we know Mr. Smith now for the last 50 years, and it was well known that his properties were only properties here in local. Manhattan. Only local. He didn't have any properties in Brooklyn, not in Texas, not in Florida. He didn't have any condos anywhere. He only a local guy. Since it's Muchzik Lon Deleslei, says our Mishnah that I don't have to be Choshesh, that maybe he has another property, Bimodai, or Bimdina Acheres. But if I don't know anything about him, I just know, yeah, he's a wealthy fellow. I don't really know what he owns, what. So then you have to be worried that maybe he owns properties elsewhere, and therefore if he does, and he handed over what appeared to be all the properties that he has, that would be a different story, because maybe in fact he has something there in mind. Okay, Zokimar Ibailu. Chazor Mamiktis Havi Chazor Bekula Oiloi. Now, what does this refer to? Well, we can start the Toshima to tell us what the fact pattern is. Kulan Larish Toshima, Kulan Larish, and Miktosan Lashem. You have the Shchimra. He gave away all of his Nechosim. We're not worried about anymore about the Medina Sacheres. He gives everything away to Reuven. And what happened after that? Before he passed away, he said, I'm giving 25% l'mashal to Shani. Now, obviously, by giving 25% away to Shani, that is in conflict with giving Kulan l'rishay. But says Rishbam, that's not a problem, because we've already learned earlier that Daitiki Mevatel is Daitiki. And Daitiki, remember, that's a matana shchimra, dote hikoi, And you can go and change your mind. As long as the person is still alive, the other person wasn't koine yet, so you can go and change it. So even though I gave, the Shechemer, I gave 100% to Reuven, he can now give 25% to Shimon. That doesn't bother us. The Shaila of the Gemara is, by giving away 25% to Shimon, as when he's still alive, of course, is that a Chazora that only affects that 25%, and therefore Reuven retains the right to receive 75%? Or do I say no, that by giving away part of the estate, the 25% of the Sheni,
he's avoiding completely,
it's a shmettered everything that he decided originally to give to Reuven, because I see that he's changed his mind, because he's not giving Reuven the 100%, he's giving 25% to Shimon, and maybe he has ideas to give other people as well. So that's the Gemara Sheni. Chazor b'mixis, havi chazor b'kula, does that void everything that he gave to Reuven? I lie, no. Reuven gets a 75, he gets a 25. It's Darshima, Kul Narishim Miksas L'Sheni. A Braisa directly on point. That's our question. Says the Braisa, Sheni Kana, Rishon Loi Kana. Only the Sheni gets, and the Rishon doesn't get at all. Now, that sounds very much like Chazor B'Miksas have Chazor B'Kula. By giving everything, not by giving only part of it to Sheni, we're saying only Sheni gets, Rishon doesn't get. So my love, are we talking about a situation in B'Mes? B'Shemes means that eventually this person passed away. And what are we saying when he passed away? That the Sheni receives, the Rishon doesn't receive. Why shouldn't he receive? If you're telling me that Chazor B'Miksas, Loi Havi Chazorah B'Kula, it's only Chazorah on that 25%.
Right.
So it's 75% for Reuven, 25% for Shimon. If he passes away, then they both should go and get the entire estate, right? 75 and 25. So L'Choy, by the fact that it says that Rishon Loi Kana, is the Chirish Tarka Rai, that Chazor B'Miksas Havi Chazorah B'Kula, and therefore Reuven gets zilch. He gets nothing. Nada. Shemi. Gunished. And that's the reason why, when he passed away, the only one that got was the Sheni, who got the 25%, and the other 75% of Shbama for the Yorshim of the Nifter, they take the other 75. So the Chayra, I can be poishit my Shaila, clearly, that when he mess, what's the din that Chazor B'Miksas have a Chazor B'Kula? Evdimor Loi, it's talking about Bisho Amad. The person recovered. Now, what is that better now? The person recovered. When I gave the Kulan the Rishoin, since I'm giving everything away to the Rishoin, so when you give something a full-fledged estate, we said when the person is Omad, then he gets it back. The Miktsas L'Sheni was only a Matonish Chevra B'Miktsas. Oh, so that's the case of the Mishnah that we looked at on Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis. Depends on what's the nature of the present. When he gave the Kulan the Rishoin, he gave everything away. By giving everything away, now he's Omad, he gets it all back. Like every Shechemra that gives everything away, Omad, he gets it back. We got the Miktsas and L'Sheni, since that was a Matan Shechemra, the Miktsas, and that he was Omad, no. So then he loses that because he gave it to him as a present. Ah, so therefore, if that's the case, you have no right, no raya, that Chazor B'Miktsas have a Chazor B'Kula. It could be Chazor B'Miktsas Loi have a Chazor B'Kula. So what he gave to the Rishon, he gave that amount minus the 25, he got the 75. And the Miktsas and the Sheni, that person got the 25. So the reason why the 75% person gets nothing, because it was originally sculpted and made as a full-fledged total Matan Shechemra. Total Matan Shechemra, when the person survives and he recovers, he gets it back. So therefore the Gemara holds, the vow, I have no right. The Gemara, another couple of lines, is going to say, I don't understand your logic over here, because if you're talking about Bisha Ahmad, even if it was only a partial, you said it's not a full-fledged a Chazor B'Kula, it was only Chazor B'Miktsas. Fine, it's only Chazor B'Miktsas. But now, since each one of them he gave away 75%, and the second one he gave 25%, we don't say that it voided the 75. He got 75, he got 25. That means he gave away everything. And therefore, Bisha Ahmad, then even the Sheni should not be Kana. Everything should revert back to the original Shechemra, because Baruch Hashem, he survived, and he had given away everything. Right? So, right. What he's saying is, I have to say it's talking about that Chazor B'Miktsas Havi Chazor B'Kula. We're going to get back to that shortly. In the meantime, the Gemara says, I don't know yet. Let's see. Hachanam Mestavra I'll bring you a raya that the reish is talking about b'she'omad. Miktoni seifa. Let's see the seifa case. Now here's faket. Miktosan l'rishin. He gave away 25% of the first one. V'kul n'shein. Now interestingly enough, although it would sound like kul n'shein means giving 100% to the sheni, however the Rishbam, through the Hagoy Sabach, says the kul n'shein means he gave the rest to the sheni, whatever was left over. So therefore we don't have a case here of a conflict between the mikzas and the kulon. The first case, obviously, we had a conflict. He originally gave away 100%, right? He gave kulon the rishon. Right. He can't say over there kulon the rishon, he gave 75%. He gave everything. And then mikzas l'sheni, and then he gives partial, 25% to sheni. Obviously, there's a conflict. The question is, chazar the mikzas, have a chazar, lo yav a chazar. Is a chazar bekula, lo yav a chazar bekula. But here it's talking about, says Rishbam, mikzas and the rishon, he gave 25% to Reuven. Bekul Nesheni, and all the balance and the remainder, the 75% he gave to Sheni, to the second individual. So what happens now? Zokta Braisa. Rishin Kona, the first one is Koina. Sheni like Kona, the second person is not Koina. So now, what is this talking about? You're going to go and tell me that he survived, Baruch Hashem, and he recovered the Sheni like Kona. Why not? Why Sheni like Kona? Because when he gave the Sheni all the rest, all the rest means the entire estate that remained after he gave the miktos and the rishon. If you're giving everything away and you survived, then you go and get it back, right? Because he gave everything away. That's the reason why Shemachi Sheni Lekana.
And the rishon also no,
because the first one we gave it to him, that was a miktos. At that point, you give the 25% away. I'm only giving mikzas. Mikzas mechasim is
quite. Why not say that it's like it's, you know, he's miyayin, you know, he's doing subsequently.
What you're saying is forget. Why don't you say that he's being machalik? He's machalik. He's first giving 25% and then he's giving 75%.
Right, yeah,
combine the two together. And like the Morris said earlier, so you have to say that this is a situation like a Nimlach situation. When Miktos Arishin first he gave 10 o'clock, he gave 25%, and then 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he gave away all of the remainder. So now, when he Baruch Hashem survives, the first 25% that he meant as a full-fledged matana, that's why he kept 75% for himself.
Okay.
And you don't say, well, he was mine, he was thinking about that, because as the Rishbam explained before, the mindset of a person who's giving out all of the nechassim.
They make the inventory first and then they distribute.
Exactly. They make that full list in their minds or on a piece of paper and they give it all out. They don't give away 90% or not. And then later on, let me think about it. No. Either you give it or you don't give it. So therefore, this person was a nimlach. The first 25%, miktos on the rishon, says the Braisa, the rishon kana, because it was even if he's omad, that he gave away the miktos. Sheni loy kana, because then he already gave away all the rest of his estate. They embakel mika kol the whole kit and caboodle.
If it's a template of a shkimer gives away everything, when Almighty gets it all back.
Exactly. So that makes a lot of sense. Yamad bishleim bisham bishim hachi shem lekar. Eliyamris bishameis. If you're going to tell me that Nebuchadnezzar, this person passed away here in the sefer, see, he had given away a rishon, he gave miktas, he gave the other 75% of the shem. Bottom line is, he gave away everything. Bishameis travail lignis. Both of them should be koina because it's like any other time. Hey, maton shkimer, the shkimer passes away. Right, whatever he gave out, he gave out. So the Chayr, I have to say that the Seif is talking about Bisha Omad, and therefore it would be logical to say that the Reish is also talking about Bisha Omad. And therefore, if I'm saying that the Reish is talking about Bisha Omad, Lav Davka do I say that Chazar B'Miktas have a Chazar B'Kula. It could be the Chazar B'Miktas, Loi have a Chazar B'Kula. That's the Gemara's thinking. Even if you're going to say that the Reish is talking about Bisha Omad, it's still must be that Chazar B'Miktas Havi Chazar B'Kula. So let's focus again, what was the case in the Reisha? Reisha was Kula and the Rishon, he had given 100% away to Reuven. Miktas, and then after that he gave 25% away to Shimon. Clearly on that 25% he changed his mind, there's nothing to talk about, that's effective. Daitim of the Talis Daitiki. The only question is, was it Ultim Avatal voided the other 75% which was left now for the Rishon? So what did we say in the Braisa? We said kul rishon makes it a sheni. Sheni is kana, rishon loy kana. So we said lechoyda, that's a raya that any type of chazar b'miktas is a chazar b'kula, and that's why Reuven gets nothing. And the Gemara said nishkaraya. Maybe it's talking about that bisha amad, and we hold that a chazar b'miktas loy have a chazar b'kula. If it's not loy have a chazar b'kula, so then we ask oy bazoy, if it wasn't a chazara bekula, then why rishon leikana? Why doesn't he get? You're telling me it's not a charata bekula, so let him get 75%. So what the Gemara said is talking about Bishop Ahmad. And since he was Ahmad, since the first 75% he had given away the whole thing totally, so it becomes like a full matona of a shemera, and he's a oymeid, so then chozer all comes back to him. Frank Timura, even Tamanami Bishop Ahmad. Yamad Bishlema Chazor makes us Habi Chazor Bekula, Haina Desheni Miaskana. Then I understand why at least the second one got his chelik. Why did the second one get his chelik? Because by the time I gave the second one all of, when I gave him that mitzas, I gave him, yeah. So that was a matonish chimra be mitzas, that was clearly affected. The only question is, did he void as a result the first distribution, first allocation? But the second one is clearly affected. So, Haydin Shed Miaskana. Eliyam is chazor mitzas, loy habi chazor bekula, it's not a chazor bekula, ni hevi kimachalik, ulachaminayu loy liknu. Why don't you go and say, combine the two together? He gave the first one kulon. He gave the second one miktsasan. If you're going to go and tell me chazor miktsas, loy havi chazor bekula, it's not chazor bekula. So then each one got what they got. The first one originally was supposed to get 100, but now by losing 25, he gets 75. The second one goes and gets 25. So now we've given away everything, the 100%. If you're talking about Bisha Ahmad, we should say, neither should get neither the Rishon nor the Sheni, because Baruch Hashem is Ahmad, he gave everything away. Therefore, says the Gemara, Al Korchuk, we have to say that Chazor B'Miktsis, Havya Chazor B'Kula, the Hilchasa, Chazor B'Miktsis, Havya Chazor B'Kula, when he gave away the 25%, that voided the entire 100% that he gave to Reuven, therefore he gets zero. And therefore, Reisha Mishkachas Bein Shemes Bein Sheomad. In the Reisha, when we said that only the Sheni is Kana and not the Rishon, it's very, very simple. Since you say Chazor Mitzis, Havi Chazor Bekula, everything and anything that he gave to the Rishon is voided, null, tishmetered, it's zero, goonish.
And since it's a partial gift of a Shemara, it stands even if he recovers.
Exactly. That's a reason. And that's why the Sheni is Kana, Sai if it's Mace, and Sai if it's Omad. Exactly right. So that's the ratio. Seifalei Mishkachesla. Seifalei, remember, it's talking about that he originally gave Miktsas to one, and then he gave the rest, all of the balance, to a second person. So what did the Ebraisa say? Let's go look much again. Seifalei Miktsas and the Rishon, he gave 25% to Reuven, and the Kulin, the Sheni, and the other 75%, he gave the whole thing to Shimon. So he said, Rishon Kona, Sheni Lekona, the two of the Mishkachesla, Ella Kisha Omad, only when he survived, Baruch Hashem. So why when he survived does that work? Because when he gave the Rishon, when he gave, he was giving him Matana Shechemra B'Miktas. He gave Miktas on Rishon, he gave him 25%.
Miktas is
a good Matana.
Ben Sheomad, Ben Shemes.
Exactly. However, the Kulin Sheni, when he gave the rest of it to the Sheni,
and
the rest of it, and then he died.
That's 100% of what he has left, and he recovers, he gets it all back.
He recovers. Ahmad, he gets it all back. That's why. So, therefore, Baruch Hashem, we went to the Bryce.
So the race is talking about Ben Shemes, Ben Sheomad.
Correct.
And so since he gave away,
and we hold that Chazor B'Miktsas, Havi Chazor B'Kula, so the Rishon therefore gets a big fat zero, goonish.
Right.
That's why we said Sheni Kana, Rishon Lekana.
Right.
So it makes no difference whether the person passes away or survives.
Right.
Whatever he gave to the Rishon is null and void and is of no legal effect whatsoever.
Okay. Even though the properties might have been, so we always distinguish earlier whether it's the Aliyah, the bias,
mm-hmm.
if they're separate properties,
mm-hmm.
and he's now listing to the Sheni, okay, you just get the Aliyah, which is 25% of the value of the estate.
Right.
It's a separate property. Why are we suddenly saying that we're looking at the entire estate as one transaction when earlier...
You're talking about the ratio of the brachos?
Yes.
Because it says kulon the Rishon. He said verbally, he wrote on a piece of paper, I give 100% of all my nechasim to Reuven. Kulon. Oh, by the way,
the
25% I'm giving to Sheni, the Aliyah, or whatever.
Right.
Give the Sheni. What do you mean? He just gave away 100%. Daitik, Mavatel is daitik. The second tzavah is Mavatel, the first tzavah. So the 25%, that's for sure, Batel, Mavatel. The question is, the 75%. That was Yimor Shai, and Yimor was poishit at the end, that in fact, by initially giving 100, and now changing his mind, giving out 25.
Completely vitiate the original distribution. It
undermines the entire first thing and voids everything, and therefore the Rishon gets zero kudosh. Okay, now we have very from Ibailu to the bottom of the Omid. It's very, very simple. We're talking about instead of Matana Shchimra, it was a Hegdish Shchimra, and then Omad. The person is never on his deathbed, and he says, all of my kids have plenty of money, they don't need my money, all my friends have plenty of money, I'm makdish everything, legvoya to the Beis Midrash, to the Gizbar, makdish everything. And then he woke up, he recovered. So if he had given away everything for Ahmad, he gets everything back. But he was makdish makni. Even on the tzad that he's going to recover, he was makdish everything.
Too late.
Oh, you don't know. After all, he also has to survive. If he doesn't have any source of income, the person going to die. So no avad. Even though he was makdish kol lechasav, if he's omad, it all comes back. Case number two. Almost the same. Instead of being makdish kol lechasav, hifker kol lechasav ma. Me, I'm really keeping the afla neem kashirim. Gomer Makni, he's giving it away to everybody, including many needy individuals like Aniyim. So therefore, maybe there was a full Gemiras Das, and even if he survives, he gave everything away. He didn't give it away, it was Mafkir. Like Gemara said before, he has to have something to eat too. Now, the third case, which is similar to the first case, instead of giving it Hefker to everybody, he gave specifically to Aniyim for Tzedakah. Me, I mean Tzedakah Vadi Migma Gomer or Makni, person who gave everything to tzedakah, he really meant it because he wants to not only get a tax deduction, but also because he wants the schusim of helping out the aniyim and all the rest. Says you want all three cases. The halacha is teiku. Okay. Hikdish kol nechasav mahu. Hifkir kol nechasav mahu. Chilik kol nechasav la aniyim mahu. Zukti mora teiku. So all of this is, it seems to be just a repeat.
Right.
It was Makdish all in the Chosim, or he's Mafka all in the Chosim, or Chilik in the Chosim. Not what it did, so the more Teiko, Mietcho to be continued on Rav Sheish's and Nushtik of the Mosque. Have a wonderful day, everybody.